so excited for you to be with us, and our hearts are made extra glad today with two new souls added to the body of Christ. Young Sister Havila, who's back with us tonight, and also Sister Leah Hilliard with us tonight, and we're just so glad that whenever that happens. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that repented. And we had two today, so we ought to be sure enough rejoicing, right? Well, I said at the end of the lesson this morning, if y'all got some bad news, keep it to yourself. Not today. Tell me tomorrow. Tell me tomorrow. But I get into my lesson. I won't be long tonight because I know it's been a full day for us. In preparing our minds for my lesson today, have you ever wondered why God does what he does when he does it? Did that ever just kind of puzzle you sometimes? Have you ever in your own prayers prayed certain things and it seems like God is not answering? Or sometimes when you seem like things aren't working out for you, have you ever looked at the fact that they really may be working out in your favor in the end? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the fact and look back over your life and you know yourself that things that happen to you happen at the right time and for the right reason? Church, I don't believe that's a mistake. And I see all throughout scripture where God knows what he's doing. And sometimes it may look doesn't look good for us, but oh my goodness, just sticking there with him to the end. So we're going to learn some lessons from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Subject title, You Dwelt Here Long Enough. You dwelt here long enough. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We all, while we're getting there, all know the familiar story of Israel. All know the fact of how God did so many things for them. You know, for over 400 years, they cried and said, God, rescue us. Why it took 400 years? That's God's business. But sometimes we say, well, you know, Lord, I've been dealing with this problem for one day, one year, one decade, my whole life. Is that the end? The answer is no. Why? Because God only allows us to see half the story. This is what Israel didn't see. So I'm going to take it from a different spin this afternoon, because oftentimes all we focus on is that 40 years in the wilderness because of the disobedience. But church, I'm telling you tonight, God, that was God's plan. When you look at what happened in the wilderness, he was preparing them for something greater. We don't always look at the fact when we're in a wilderness, God was preparing some things. He was dealing with some stuff that they couldn't really see until the end. They thought that God was cruel to them. We're going to look at it, and we're going to make some application lesson to be yours. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse, we'll begin at verse number 6. I read down through verse number 8. And it reads as such. The Lord our God spake unto us at Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take up your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto into the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of Canaanites, and the Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set before thee land before you. Go in and possess the land the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to see their seed after them. Now, when you look at this, it seems like, God, my ship has finally come in. Boy, my life getting ready to get better. Now, mind you, this promise was made to Father Abraham several generations ago, that through his seed, the whole earth will be blessed. So it was always in God's plans, going back several hundred years, for him to give his people a land flowing with milk and honey. But see, when he tells us that, we oftentimes just look at the surface of things. Now, mind you, they'd already sent 12 spies on over into the land. 10 of them said, them folks over there too big. We can't do it. Only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we're more than enough. Why would they say that when God had already told them what could happen? So sometimes God's promises, the things he promises, we're not ready ourselves to take advantage of them. So why in the world do we think that a loving God would give us something that we're not ready for, not ready to handle. Well, loving God does it. We oftentimes look at God doing us wrong, and they thought the same thing. How do we know that? Let's skip on down to verse number 26, same chapter. And it says this. God is talking to the people. He said this. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God and murmured in your tents. Let's pause right there for a second. How many of us have murmured in our tents about things God does to us or things that are happening to us? How many times have we done that? And it may not be a physical tent, but sure, the tent of your mind, the tent of your thoughts, the tent of your emotions. How many of us have done that? How many times have we shown we really don't believe what God says? And if that's the case, how in the world can God proceed on down the road of blessing us? That's what he's about. He's not just blessing them, but he's preparing situations and circumstances, even things they can't see. Because it's 40 years in the wilderness, it did a whole number on these folks they said they couldn't be. We're going to get over into it. We start looking at Joshua. We start looking at the fact that these 40 years, even though they murmured and complained, there were some folks watching from the outside saying, I ain't messing with God's people. Them folks starting to scare me. I know they look like a disorganized bunch of folk, but I already know that their God is bigger than our God. But see, Israel didn't see that in the wilderness. So what am I saying? Sometimes when we're in the wilderness, we just need to learn to trust God. He's going to work it out. He's already worked it out, and he may be just preparing some things in your future, down the road, dealing with some enemies you hadn't met yet, because that's what's happening here. So he didn't just use this 40-year period to punish Israel. He also used this 40-year period to prepare them for something greater. Oh, my goodness. How many times have you felt like you were in the wilderness in your life? You felt like, they said, let's read. I'm going to see what they said. Tell you what they said in their minds. Verse 26 says that. You murmured against the Lord God. 27. In your tents. Notice what they said now. It said, because the Lord hated us. What? Where did this foolishness come from? But we're no different. We said that in the tent of our minds too. God, you must hate me. Look at what I'm dealing with. Look at what I'm going through. Is that what we think sometimes? Yeah. Because it don't look the way we think it should look. But it wasn't God who had the problem. It was them and their thinking. Oftentimes, our thought life can be our worst enemies. Why? Because if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. And no matter what circumstances come your way, because of your disbelief and the state of your mind, you're able to receive it or not receive it. God also knew he had to prepare the mind of Israel. They weren't ready. So much so that some folks had to die out in the wilderness. Them folks that came out that wasn't ready to possess the land, God did something with them in the wilderness, didn't he? Everybody over the age of 20, except Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness. Was that a mistake? Was that punishment? No, those folks that just not have the mentality to move on to possess some stuff. See, what I'm talking about is we have to trust God and trust his timing in everything. How many times have you looked over in your life and you thought, man, this just ain't going to work out in my favor? I don't see nowhere out. Everywhere I look like it's trouble. I'm doing the best I can. It seems like, God, seem like I know you say you love me, but on the surface, I really feel like you hate me. This is what they said. What else did they say? They said this. The Lord hated us. He had brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. What kind of sense that make? What foolish talking? But let me ask you this question. Sometimes we feel that way when we accept and obey the gospel. We sometimes feel like God has brought us out here to be destroyed in this place. God wasn't the problem. The problem was their thinking. He knew what he promised. He was always going to honor his promise. He had told them in verse number 6, Deuteronomy chapter 1, you dwelt here long enough. They had been hemming and hawing around this mountain long enough. Now this is after they had been rescued out of Egypt, mind you. But they still complain. We do the same thing. Then it says, Lord, on that you hate us because you done brought us out of Egypt just for some more folks to bother us and get on our nerves and kill us. Have we said that before? What do we think God is? A cruel God? Don't you think that whatever we go through is for our own good? Don't you think that sometimes, from time to time, we got to hit some fire to be purified? Don't you think God knows us, knows how much heat we can take, knows when we need the heat, when we don't need the heat, when we need to cool off, when we need to purify some things, and he needs to purify some things in our life for what he has planned for us? Don't sell him short. He knows what he's doing. Just get out the way. Get out the way and let him do his work. We are potter. I've never heard anywhere, any story that I read, any fairy tale, anything, where a lump of clay told the potter what he wanted to be. Never heard that. And if it ain't right, what does a potter do? You know, I know, Brandon can tell you, I think him and Jazz, well, they used to make some of the most beautiful things, ashtrays and stuff when they was younger. They was beautiful. But that thing was leaning like this. They did the best they could. It was beautiful, the thought to count it. But there's no way in the world I'm going to put anything in that thing for me to pick it up 2 seconds later. It was beautiful, though. But they thought it. But see, God doesn't leave us that way. If it's impure, make no mistake, you're going back to the potter's wheel. He's not finished with you. You got some lumps still in you. He put you together and looked like he's gleaning on this side. Why do we think he's going to let us come out anything less than perfect and like his son? Israel had that problem. 40 years in the wilderness. We're going to get down to it in verse 2, see what really happened in the wilderness, because he was doing some things for them, and they didn't see it. Notice what it says in verse 28. Whether we should go up, our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, wait a minute. Is that a problem too? We listen to everybody around us, don't we? Everybody but God. I'm so disgusted. Boy, I listen. Wait, what did God say? But then you listen to folks around you, and we get discouraged. Be careful taking on somebody's press problems and issues. You ever been around some folks like this? You was feeling good till you got around them. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm saying sometimes you got to protect your life. There's some folks that you doing good till you start hanging around them. And you don't know why you feel angry, sad, mad. You just being around, just that was not your intention. Sometimes you just made to avoid them folks. Don't let them steal your joy like that. It's just, I'm not saying we shouldn't help each other, but I'm saying that's the folks in this world. You know who I'm talking about. You got to be on like as I do too. If it ain't bad, if it ain't negative, they ain't saying it. That's hard for us to deal with. This is what happened here. They heard some folks that told them, you know, I know what God said, but did you hear what them 10 said? Did you hear how big them rascals was over there? You know, they children of Anak, descendants of Goliath, the rest of them, King Og. Them folks was huge, 9-10 feet tall. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. What was God in the picture? So we do the same thing, don't we? When we look at what God and what we can do through God, we sell him short by what we say we can't do. The moment you say you can't do is the moment that God can't do. That's the truth about it. So if we ever want to do anything, we got to get this mindset out of our way and stop saying we can't. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. It ain't just about you. If you depend on your strength and your ability, yeah, but you're leaving somebody else out the mix. You're leaving somebody else out the picture who's preparing some stuff way down the road behind the scenes. We're going to sit in a minute. If y'all don't believe me, don't look at me cross-eyed. We're going to ride till we get there, and I'll drop you off and then let you get on out and go to bed. Then it says this, whether shall we go up, brethren, you have discouraged our heart, saying, people are greater and taller than we. Cities are great and walled up to hip. Where in the world? Now look at what the spies said. We're just talking about people, right? What did the spies say? They said nothing about no walls going all the way up to heaven. I want you to see how people add stuff to it. By the time you get disturbed, by the time they tell about it, man, they giants, you can't do nothing. They just talked about the people when you go back and look at it. How the walls getting up to heaven getting to play? Where'd that come from? See, people add stuff to it. That's what fear does. That's what discouragement does. It don't just stay as it is. It grows. But they done took it to a whole nother level. Then it says, and moreover, we have the sons of the Anakims there. Again, the descendants of Goliath. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you. See, Israel had forgotten that fact. They just didn't start when he brought them out. He had already went before them and prepared some things for them. He was already preparing some things for them. So that's the definition of faith. Your faith has to be based on the fact that God is already ahead of you. He's already out there in the dark. He already sees the end. He's there. He's an omnipotent, omnipresent God. He's not confined by a time frame. We just don't know how it works out, but that's not how we're supposed to, because that is the exact opposite, the definition of faith. Faith is what? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Israel wasn't walking in faith. We see that we must just walk by faith. They live by faith. Stop trying to see everything. Stop trying to figure out how it's going to work out in the end. Just go and do. And watch God work for you. He's already in tomorrow, next week. That's what was going on here. That's what he's telling. He went before them. And I'm glad he did. Because if he went with us, then he in the same boat we are. Sometimes we act like God right here beside us. And do you really think that anything surprises God? Do you think God will ever say this? Oop, I didn't see that coming. that's something wrong with your mindset. We see that. You think God will ever say, they caught me slipping, Curtis? No, sir, no, ma'am. He knows. I just have to learn to get out of the way and trust him. We do as well. Whatever we do, individually or collectively, we have to trust that God's going to do his part. And know without a shadow of a doubt. And work out things. And provide resources. And do all these things if we just act and do what he says. This was their problem. But he tells them this. And then it says, the Lord God was going before you, shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Now, he's reminding them of something. You must have forgot who brought you out of Egypt. Did you forget those 10 plagues? Did you forget you woke up on the morning after all those firstborn died and your firstborn was still living? Did you forget to the point when you got to the edge of the sea, the Red Sea, and it parted? Did you forget that as soon as the last Israelite put foot on dry ground on the other side, what happened to them waters? Did you forget that? And let me ask you in your life, what have you forgotten that God has done for you? Because he's reminding us the same way. Did you forget I brought you through the last trial? Did you forget that when you said you couldn't make it, you're still here today? Did you forget that when you had thrown up your hands and given up, who carried and brought you through? And if he did that then, why are we dying from this point on in the future? But we're no different than Israel. And then it says, in the wilderness, well, thou hast seen how that the Lord God bare thee, as a man bare his son, in all the way that ye went until you came into this place. Now, who's taking care in the wilderness? When y'all are murmuring and complaining, who was still taking care of you? Who was putting clothes on you that didn't wear out? Who put shoes on you that didn't wear out for 40 years? Who gave you what is it to eat? Because that's what manna means. What is it? Who gave you that to eat every day and nobody went to Walmart, food line? None of that. Sweet bread. They said it tastes sweet. Now, I'm a sweet bread addict. I don't do too much with pies and stuff. Cookies I like. But give me a good honey bun and we're going to fight. Because that's up there above. Regina can tell you, I love some sweet bread. Oh, my goodness. I don't do a bunch of pies and stuff. Y'all can have those. But a nice, juicy honey bun. Just ice is falling off of it. I would hurt myself. Literally. So that's what they had to eat, but that didn't suffice. That wasn't sufficient for them because they wanted some meat with it. You know how we do. We got to have some meat to go with every meal. Somebody once told me, we're thinking about it. If God wants us to be vegetarians, then why do you make animals out of meat? That's just my little joke. not making fun of anybody. That's just my little joke. That's what somebody said when they said a better life was a vegetarian. Then he shouldn't have made them out of meat. Then I wouldn't be wanting them. So when we look at these things, and then it says what? Verse 32. Yet in this thing, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, in a cloud by day. Oh my goodness. All this stuff, and we still won't believe. I've gone before you. I searched out a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, for you to pitch your tents. And you still murmuring and complaining. Let's see what happened in the wilderness in chapter 2. So then we turned and took our journey to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, and the Lord spake unto me, and we compass about, I'm in chapter 2, verse 1, compass Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have come with this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. The same people that they was afraid of them. Think about that for a moment. Do you realize your enemy is probably as scared of you and you are them? Because they see something within you. They know God is dwelling and living with you. They fear you. They don't say it, don't come out that way. But make no mistake about it, if you're living and God is with you, people can see that you ought maybe not mess with that person. They maybe should look at some things in their life and realize maybe, just maybe, that's why I'm dealing what I deal with, because I mess with one of God's folks. The church, God going to get us for messing with his folks. Now, I always talk about this, even the role of husband and wife. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, sometimes, you know, we in marital lifetime relationships, we forget that husband or wife is still God's. And they was theirs first, and they're going to be theirs in the end. God loans them out to us. You don't own them. They are God's. So when you mistreat your wife, who's a Christian, or your husband, who's a Christian, you also mistreating Jesus. Oh, my goodness. If we thought about that, we'd have a whole lot better marital situation today. You're not just doing them that way. That's a child of God. And God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You ain't got to worry about it. God got some things prepared for them, and he's going to whip them and do things with them in ways you can't even imagine. If you and I just get out of the way. All we got to do is get out of the way and let him do his thing. If they have hurt or hindered the child of God, they're going to pay for it. Not just necessarily sometime in glory, in judgment. He starts working on them here. We see it here. Before Israel ever got to the promised land, God was already working on these folks over there. They were afraid of them. These little old pilly folks out there in the wilderness, running each other, bumping around, can't work their way out of a paper bag. There was something going on. What happened in the wilderness? I told you all those old folks died off. But a new generation came up that was stronger and more determined. They knew that Israel was going to be an enemy to be reckoned with. Notice what it says in verse number 5. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, not so much as the foot breadth, but because I've given Mount Sinai unto Esau for their possession. Just do what I ask you to do. You shall buy meat for them, for money that they may that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may bring. Now, how important is that? Looking at what's going on here. Understand, they were enemies. They were enemies already. God had done something to change that situation around. They didn't get along. They was always fighting, still going on today. But that lets us know that these same folks who were enemies, God says, go to them, buy the food and the water from them. What if God told us to do that to our enemy today? You think they're going to do that for me? If God's in it, he'll find a way to break them down. Don't worry about it. Just go and do what he asks. He said, don't bother the land that gave it to him. But I'm still going to use them on my plan because they're going to feed you and they're going to give you something to drink. Enemies. Nothing's beyond God's reach. This is what I'm saying. Then it says, for the Lord your God hath blessed thee in all thy works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walk through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Now, imagine you were under 20 when all this happened, 39, 40 years ago. Parents, grandparents, distant cousins died off. You were out there in the wilderness, didn't know where to go. You thought for a long time God hated you. You thought God did you wrong. You thought that God was never going to keep his promise about a promised land. And then 40 years later, look at it. He's saying, the wilderness prepared you, but as I was preparing you, I was also preparing your way. They couldn't have took this land 40 years ago, church. Y'all know that, right? That was some things that had to happen. That was a preparation period. God does that for us in our life. So if now if you feel like you're kind of in a holding cell, maybe you feel like you don't know where you're coming or going, just trust God. He'll show you the way. He's preparing some things before you that you can't even see yet. You hadn't even got to it yet. He's taking care of some enemies you don't even know yet. He's clearing a path that you hadn't come to yet. That fork in the road that we have from time, come to from time to time in life, he's already laid breadcrumbs down to let you know which way to go. So why don't we trust him? Israel had a whole lot of problems because of their disbelief, and so do we. But that ain't all bad, because it wasn't all bad for them. He prepared them. When you get over to Joshua, I won't have time for time's sake to look into it. May look into it next week. But you see without a shadow of a doubt that this period of 40-year period was not just punishment. It was also preparing them to do what God had prepared for them to do in the first place. We don't always see it in our lives, do we? We can't see it. But I guarantee you can look back. I can tell you right now, I'm glad some things didn't happen to me when I wanted them to happen because I wasn't ready. I didn't say it then, but I see it now. Some things that I went through, some things that I thought that maybe God had taken from me, should have been taken from me at the right time and for the right reason. I know that now, but not when I was dealing with it. See, that's how God works. He's always taking care of his children. Not just present time, but also in the future. That's why we don't have to worry about tomorrow because we know who holds tomorrow. How much time and energy, resources, stress do we put on things that might happen? What if? The what ifs, I say. They will drain you of any kind of hope for the future. They will rob you of your joy. I can promise you that in your peace. If you're trying to figure out all the what else and figure out the variables before you do something, then it's never going to get done. And maybe, just maybe, that's why you feel like you're spinning your wheels. Because God's not going to do anything for you in this situation. That's the opposite of faith. We don't need to worry about stuff that we're worrying about. You know, how do we know that? How do we know it's a sin? He says what? Philippians 4, 6 and 7? Be anxious or worry about nothing. What does nothing mean? What does that mean to you? Nothing means nothing. And your situation ain't no exception. My situation ain't no exception, because that's what we do. Yeah, but what? He says nothing. But then he tells you how to do that. With everything. With supplication and prayer. Make your request known to God. And then the result of that is you'll receive a peace that surpasses all understanding. You don't have to worry about understanding it. God's peace will let you know it's going to be all right. God's peace will let you know he's already in tomorrow. God's peace will let you know. We'll pick up some more lessons. My time is gone. I won't keep it too long tonight. We'll pick up on this next Lord's Day, or in 2 weeks. I think next week is Youth Sunday, but in 2 weeks we'll pick up on it because I really want to nail it down for us because it helps us. We're going to get over into Joshua, and then we're going to sit down on Caleb. Oh, my goodness, Caleb. When you read Joshua chapter 14, oh, my goodness. You talking about somebody who had the right mindset? Now, Caleb was one of the two spies who came out with a good report. But because, now sometimes we get mad because other folks fought and slow us down. And because other folks ain't right, we got to wait. That's not the attitude he had. He says this. Let's look at it. I'm going to give you a little preview. Then I'm going to shut up and sit down somewhere. Joshua, I can't leave you hanging like that. Joshua chapter 14. That's bigger than verse number 6. I'm going to read all the way through, and I'll go down and make some points next week when I'm about finished. It says this, Joshua chapter 14, beginning of verse number 6. And it says, the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old. When I was 40 years old, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to espy on the land, and I brought him word again as if it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. He didn't care what nobody else said. He trusted God. And then it says that Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Now, he could have complained, because we do that. We should have done this 40 years ago. That's not what he said. He says, God has kept me alive enough to keep his promise. So don't worry about the time frame. God's going to keep his promise. Then it says, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, with the children of Israel, wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. He waited 45 years to get his promise from God. And then it says what? Now, he didn't complain. He didn't say I couldn't. He says this, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. 45 years he waited. I'm just as strong today because God kept me. He's going to keep his promise. I didn't worry about the time frame. I didn't worry about the calendar. I knew that God was going to keep his word. If he was going to keep his word, I knew he was going to take care of me so his word could be done through me. See, age ain't nothing but a number. He says, I'm just as strong today as I was then. Now, I don't know what kind of diet he was on, but it was a different diet back then. Whatever he was on, he knew he hadn't lost a bit of strength. But then he didn't say, give me another mountain. Let's talk about that for a moment. He didn't say, give me an easier mountain because I'm 85. He said, I want that mountain. That one right there where I saw them Anakim at before. I want that one because I got something for him. 85 years old. I ain't afraid of him. I wasn't afraid of him when I saw him then, and I sure ain't afraid of him now. Ain't that beautiful, church? I'm going to end on that, and we'll pick up on that in a couple of weeks. Because we got to understand, we've dwelt here long enough. The mindset is God's doing some things. And don't worry about it seeming like you're stuck in part. Maybe God's put you in part while he deal with the other end. Don't worry about it. His timing is always best. Don't worry about it. If you don't think it's the right time, when you think it is, trust him. He's dealing with some enemies we hadn't met yet. He's fighting some battles that maybe he doesn't want us even fighting and dealing with. We can trust the shoe and rest. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Take your eyes off the clock and off the calendar. Get yourself ready and watch him work. And work as if it's already done. That's the mindset we got to do. That's what kept Caleb going for 45 years. He already knew it was a done deal. The only thing that was left was God's timing. He never doubted God would do it. Y'all saw that, right? He just says, the time is right. You keep me alive, Lord, as long as you need to do to get everything in place. But I know you're going to answer my prayer. That's awesome, church. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of my sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of our sins. that places into Christ Jesus makes us new creatures. And then God starts to make us over. We become potter. Don't worry about whether you want to be. I want to be a teacup. You may not be ready to hold hot water. Why not be a saucer? Saucer's just as important. In our minds, it's not. Just trust him. He knows your talents. He knows what's in you. Trust him to make us a valuable earthen vessel through which heavenly blessings flow. Trust him. He'll never let you down. I promise you he won't. You'll be doing some things now that you thought you could never do. If y'all had told me 25 years ago, that's how long I've been a Christian, just about, I'd be here doing what I'm doing, I would tell you, you was crazy as two left shoes. That's my grandma. Not me. I didn't even have a clue there was a such thing as Albemarle. But I look back now and see his hand putting me where I'm supposed to be right here at this point in time right now. So I learned to trust it. I couldn't see it back then. I didn't know what God had for me. I just knew once my football career was over, you must be something better. And boy, I went through some trips. But I learned to trust it. Did I make some mistakes? Did I feel like he hated me sometime? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Maybe this is why it took me a little long to get where I'm at now. But I'm glad. I'm thankful because those journeys taught me lessons. Those periods of pause, those periods in the wilderness taught me to learn to trust it. Sometimes they got to take you out in the wilderness where it's as dark as two country roads, not just one, Grady. That's a system. That's the difference between dark, city dark, country dark. It ain't dark here in Albemarle. Go to one of them hollers up there in West Virginia. Sun just barely shine about 30 minutes after they creep over the mountains and go down the other mountain. Right. Go there. Right. Go in the country. Well, you ain't got nothing but lightning bugs as your light at night. That's what I'm talking about. This ain't dark. You got street lights at least every other mile. Ain't no street lights in the country. Ain't no street lights in them hollers. It's dark, dark. Death dark. But it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. He's with you. He's already in there. What must we do? Let us stand as we have a verse of a song. If you would like to put in Christ in baptism, request special prayer. We ask you.